So good morning, everybody. It's lovely to be here. And for those who don't know me, my name is Rowan Benn. And this morning, I am talking about a God I know who is unchanging. Change is one of the constants and certainties of our lives. Only this week, I have listened to numerous stories of lives that have been affected by unexpected change. And I'd like to share two of these stories with you today. They're real people facing present situations. I've just changed their names. Paul, 10 months ago, was your average suburban 59-year-old husband of one wife and three sons, living in Western Sydney. He's had a long career working for the same company. One Sunday in November last year, he became aware of sensing some flu-like symptoms. And these symptoms continued to get worse over the next few days, although Paul wasn't overly concerned. But then on the Wednesday, Paul, upon entering his house, collapsed on the floor, to be found by his wife unconscious when she came home from work. Paul went straight to hospital, and this last week marked his 10th month of continual hospitalisation, where the doctors have not been able to get rid of a staph infection in his body, and they have no clue where it came from. After many operations and chronic infection, Paul was given a choice last week, whether he wanted an operation that had a 50% chance of success or to be placed in palliative care. Our lives can change trajectory in a moment. Our health, our jobs, our future whilst living on this earth are not guaranteed. Tim and his wife are the parents of three children, one of which is quite autistic, requiring special help at school. Their child has good days and bad days. There's no certainty. And just recently, he was having consistently good days at school, and he stayed for full days at a time, a praise point to God. But then just last week, he had a meltdown, and a teacher reacted the wrong way, traumatising their son to the extent that he is unable to go to school at all at the moment. Tim is also asking for prayer as he endeavours to reach out to his father, who has been estranged from him for about 10 years. He wants to reconcile with his father for his sake, but also for his kids. He would love his father to know his grandkids. Tim and his wife feel the constant pressure of uncertainty and just long for stability for their child and also for reconciliation with Tim's father. A story from me. Uncertainty and risk can provide us with anxiousness and moments of anxiousness. I faced some big decisions in the business we had where if the plan succeeded, then it would propel us forward. But if it failed, we would lose everything. And in these moments, my prayers was, God, what do I do? I just wanted God to give me some assurance that everything would be okay. I sensed that the decision was prudent, but it was very risky, and there was no guarantee of success. What if it's not the right move? I reflected on my faith and whether my faith could actually withstand a complete failure. Could God allow this? I mean, I'm faithfully trying to honour God in all I do. Is that enough to get me success? In some ways, I felt like I was trying to bargain a positive outcome with God. I wondered how I was to sit as a Christian with success or failure and uncertainty. Change and uncertainty surround us. Nations change. Leaders change. Trump changes his mind every day, throwing international trade and financial markets off guard. Financial markets do not like change. Technology advances so quickly and affects us all. AI, is it evil or is it good? Well, it's here and it's changing things. And because everything in this world is unstable, we naturally crave and long for some stability. Something certain and reliable that we can count on. In fact, much of human anxiety comes from fearing what may change tomorrow. Our job, or our health, our loved ones, or even our own faithfulness. The first passage we read this morning was when Moses met God within the burning bush. And Moses inquires of God, "If the Israelites ask what your name is, what will I tell them?" And God replies, "I am who I am." Notice that he does not say, "I was who I was," as though his relevance lies only in the past. And nor does he say, "I will be who I will be," as though he is still developing or improving. Instead, he declares, "I am who I am." God is unchanging. He does not grow and he does not diminish. He doesn't improve and he doesn't deteriorate. He does not abandon his promises or his purposes. His love and his mercy, his justice and his holiness are eternally constant. He is who he is forever. And what I've just said sounds grand and wonderful, but it is intensely practical. If God could change, then his promises might fail. How could we trust him? How can we rely on him? If his love changed intensity, does that mean that he may love us better today and change tomorrow? Could you possibly imagine God waking up one day and his response being, "I've got a fair bit on today to listen to or attend to your request. I'll see how I feel tomorrow." What would happen if his mercy faltered one day, or his desire to act justly? I mean, that's what we do every day, isn't it? If his purposes wavered, history itself would unravel, and we could not be confident of the future hope that we have for eternity with God if he could change his mind. Today we're going to explore how God is unchanging in three ways. We're going to look at his unchanging nature, his unchanging attributes, and his unchanging purposes and promises. God's nature and his very being never changes. Unlike us and creation, who are both fragile and constantly shifting, God remains eternally the same. And Malachi says, "I, the Lord, do not change, so you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. And then in Exodus, as we read before, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, who is slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness and rebellion and sin. And yet, he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of their parents to the third and fourth generations. These two verses are powerful portraits of our God. He does not change. He is compassionate. He is gracious. He is slow to anger. He is abounding in love. He forgives wickedness, rebellion, and sin. And he says, "Return to me, and I will return to you." But he also acts justly, and he does not leave unpunished the guilty. He is a covenant God who covenanted with Abraham that his descendants would be a blessing to all the nations. Now, the story of the Israelites from the Exodus out of Egypt into exile in Babylon is a sorry tale of a wayward people who tested God's patience again and again through their disobedience and their rebellion. The time period between the Exodus to the exile into Babylon spans approximately 800 long years. And for the majority of this time, the Israelites grumbled and were disobedient, and they failed to trust God. And yet God never destroyed them completely. This unchanging God, who covenanted with his people, showed mercy to them time and time again. And when they cried out to him, he came back, perfectly consistent with the verses that we've just read. Israel's survival was not due to their consistency, but God's. Our survival, our forgiveness, our destiny is not because of our consistency. It's all because God's unchanging, merciful love for us. If God was fickle like the Israelites or us, we would have perished long ago. To say that God's nature is unchanging means that all his attributes are constant and eternal. And there are so many attributes we could talk about, and we can only just focus on a few. God's love never changes. Jeremiah 31 says, "The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, 'I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness.'" Paul is so convinced of this everlasting love of God that he says, "For I am convinced that of this, that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." God's love is weaved throughout the Bible. God's great love is shown that while we were still sinners, he sent his only Son to die for us. Let's just reflect on how fickle and conditional our love is by comparison to God's love. Our love varies. We love conditionally. We love selfishly. Our love of itself is flawed. But God's love is consistent. It's abundant. It's unconditional. It's selfless. It's sacrificial. He cannot love us any more than he does, and he cannot love us any less. God's mercy never changes. Lamentations says, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail." They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Notice how this echoes what we just read in Malachi. God's great love for his people means they are not consumed. What a wonderful passage of reassurance that when we come before our God with a repentant heart, his mercies are new every morning. They're not new every second morning or when he feels like it. From the very beginning, God's mercy is unrelenting and we can rely on it. God's justice never changes. Psalm 89 says, "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you." God's throne in heaven, a sense of his eternal reign, is underpinned by righteousness and justice, a foundation that is immovable. Now, presently, you could say that the world is riding a wave of injustice, and we despair. What can we do? Why are people getting away with this? Where are you, God, in this? And the reality is that we have to sit with the fact that God's love, his patience and his mercy and his yearning for justice go hand in hand. On one hand, the world continues until the appointed time as God's people come to when God's people come to him. And we can rest in the knowledge that evil and defiance against God's way will come to an end. And we can pray for this and rest in an unchanging God who will uphold justice. God's faithfulness never changes. The Greek word for faithfulness in the New Testament is pistis. It implies that God is ever mindful of his promises and fulfills them, making him dependable. 2 Timothy says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. So God's love, mercy, justice, and faithfulness is unchanging. But we don't often sense this. Our experience of God, of God's attributes that we feel wavers. Our emotions and our state of being send messages to us that are mixed. I can sense sometimes God's love and forgiveness and goodness, but other times I can feel alone and alienated from God. And we'll ask God, where are you? Where are you in this moment of uncertainty that I'm feeling? I can feel abandoned. Where are you in my confusion? Now, in these times, it's interesting just to think that half of the Psalms are laments. It's part of our human brokenness and experience to feel low and confused and abandoned. And the writers of the Psalms felt this way too, and they cried out to God. I'm going to ask, do you have a lament, a psalm that speaks into your hurt and anxiety that you know? Our God is big enough to hear your laments and your cries for help. In fact, he wants you to cry out to him. God's not only changing in his nature and attributes, but also in his purposes and promises. His plans are eternal. His word stands forever. Numbers says, God is not human. God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? How many times do we change our minds in a week, let alone a day? Our feelings, our circumstances, the sway of the opinions of others, our desire for approval can change our minds. But on the other hand, God's purposes, intentions remain firm. They are sound. He does not change or lie or deceive. Romans says that we know that in all things God works for good, for those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. We have a God who knows all things. We don't know the future, and God does not always provide a clear direction in the moment. But when we are in these places of confusion and uncertainty, Paul's statement in Romans is so reassuring. Isaiah says, "Remember this, keep it in mind, take it to heart, you rebels. Remember the former things of long ago. I am God, there is no other. I am God, there is no one like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do what I please. From the east, I summon a bird of prey. From the far-off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, that I will bring about. What I have planned, that I will do." There are times when I love to just rest in these verses and just remember the extent and the reach of our God. We get lost in the woods of our individual worlds and can often feel overwhelmed and afraid of what could be. The world is a hostile place at times. It's comforting to know that nothing escapes God. His purposes will stand. The Bible testifies to the fulfillment of God's purposes. In Genesis, God told Abraham that through him and his descendants, he would bring blessings to all the nations. And the Old Testament narrative pointed us to Jesus as the descendant of Abraham and David, who would be this blessing. And furthermore, we await that final day when Jesus will descend from above and the world will be rid of evil and decay, and we will abide with him forever. These verses help us to remember that God's plans and purposes are far larger than we can comprehend. We don't know the future, but we know someone who does. And in contrast to God's unchanging purposes, our promises and our plans are marred by brokenness and our human frailty. Human promises falter due to our weaknesses, forgetfulness, or deceit. How many times are we barraged with promises of hope, satisfaction, and meaning from all these new products and services out there, but only to find disappointment at the end of these promises? How right we are to be slightly cynical and careful about bold human assurances and promises. Our courtrooms are full, contesting broken promises and deceit and human failures. Let's not make the mistake of seeing God's promises through the same lens. When the I Am makes a promise, his very name guarantees its fulfillment. So where is Paul and Tim in their place and uncertainty? How did my anxiousness in decision making end? Well, Paul has his operation this coming Wednesday. His wife and three kids are not believers. Paul's faith had essentially cooled off over many years. However, this 10-month crisis of health has brought him back fervently to the Lord. His sister spent much time a week ago crying with him, praying, reading the Bible, and singing songs of worship with him. He loves Jesus, and he is assured of his faith. In the very face of a very uncertain future, his hope is in his God. And yet there is sadness for him, because he may be leaving behind a wife and three sons who are not believers. A point for much prayer for him now. His sister, Jeanette's friend, has been profoundly moved by his surrender to God in this moment. Tim and his wife are exhausted. He asked to be prayed for. It's tough with their autistic child. Despite Tim reaching out to his father remains angry with little visible signs of wanting reconciliation. There are no quick fixes. Tim and his wife cling to God, who is stable, dependable, loving, and understanding. There is a quiet resilience at play, but it's difficult. Tim and his wife pray daily to God for their children, for breakthroughs, and pray to God for strength and endurance. Facing the big decisions was a watershed moment for me. I would have loved God to just say, "Rowan, I got your back. It'll work." But he didn't. And I realised I was actually asking the wrong questions. The right question was, "Rowan, is your understanding of God big enough to handle these situations and these decisions?" My doubt and my longing for a clear answer showed that my understanding of God needed to grow. And it did. I grew to understand what God valued most was not whether my plans succeeded or otherwise, but that I grow to know him more deeply, love him more completely, and trust him more fully. What I had affirmed was that I was a child of my Father in heaven. My identity and purpose is founded upon Jesus, not on the success or failure that may result from the big decisions that had to be made. If everything was lost, does it change me? Does it change my eternal inheritance or my relationship with God? No, it didn't. And I can't tell you the freedom I felt to be able to rest in the knowledge that nothing can separate me from the love of God. If failure was to be the result, it was going to be okay. All I can do is trust in God, faithfully honour him in all I do, to work hard and to work diligently, but also to learn to rest. Rest in a God that faithfully is, rest and lay my burdens at the feet of the one who stands above all things, and trust him because he is trustworthy. So as we conclude this morning, I'd invite you this week to enjoy a psalm that is rich in describing how good and unchanging our God is, and to be encouraged. Psalm 103 is a beautiful psalm, and I'd encourage you just to reflect on it each day this coming week. There's so much to sit in it, you can spend all week in it. And sit just with a different part in the passage that speaks to you, and delight in the God that we follow. God is good. God is faithful. God is the great I am. We can trust in him. We can rely on him because he does not change. Let's pray. Father God, we are humbled to serve and honour and follow you, who is so unchanging, a rock and an anchor to our souls. Thank you, Father, for your love, for your mercy, for your desire for justice, your faithfulness to us. Thank you that we can depend on all these things. Pray this in your name. Amen.